What up? Welcome to On the Bench. I am Brendan Sinone. A little different type of episode for you guys today. Josh is tired from driving like 2,000 miles in the last week. Chris Snee, I think, has been literally melted onto the bench. Like, we can't get him off. And Zach's just being a scoop monster somewhere. So changing up the pace a little bit for this episode of On the Bench to kind of finish off the week right. We have a special guest. It is Pat Watkins, Tallahassee native, former FSU standout, played in the NFL for the Dallas Cowboys for a few years, played in the CFL, was really good there as well. So someone who's had a very interesting career and is now back local in Tallahassee coaching youth football. And he has a youth football camp coming up this week. So I want to give him the platform to plug what he's doing to help out youth in the community and teach football and life lessons, all that good stuff, but also talk about his time at Florida State, some of his favorite memories playing for the Seminoles. So Pat Watkins, the former standout defensive back, is going to join us here on the bench. I'm going to take a quick commercial break. On the other side, we'll have Pat. We'll have a fun little podcast for you guys here on a Friday for the weekend, then we'll be back to our normal four-man bench rotation next week, all right? We'll be right back after this commercial break.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Welcome back to On the Bench. As promised, I have Pat Watkins. Pat is a former Florida State standout defensive back in the mid-2000s. He played in the NFL for the Dallas Cowboys, as well as had a really strong career in the CFL, and now he's doing some coaching here in Tallahassee. He has a camp coming up June 14th to June 18th, ages 7 through 15, and we'll get more information on that in a little bit. But first, Pat, welcome to On the Bench. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing really well, and thanks for having me.
No, really for sure. Happy to have you. Want to plug the camp and whatnot, and also want to get some thoughts about your time playing, at FSU. So maybe we could start off with that. You're from Tallahassee. What was it like being a local prospect, being recruited by the hometown team, and how did you ultimately decide on Florida State?
Well, I mean, luckily, because Florida State was so close, I watched a lot of Florida State growing up. Football, basketball, just Florida State, everything. So, I mean, that kind of helped, being from Tallahassee, being so accessible at the time. Also, I mean, when you have a chance to play for, your hometown teams, it's like, why not? I was blessed with the opportunity to have that option. And it was something that I knew that I would, I could or would do if I had the opportunity to. And, lo and behold, I had the chance to. So, I took it.
So when you end up going to Florida State, being the hometown kid, is there pressure that comes with that? Did you ever feel that at any point during your career, or was that never really a factor for you?
I don't feel like it was a factor for me. I've been kind of humble, reserved, and to myself for the most part. At the same time, I felt like it was something that I had to do for my school at the time, Lincoln High School. Like, once again, you don't have too many people coming out of Tallahassee going to Florida State, mm-hmm. and at such a high level. And when you get the opportunity, then, you got to kind of like show, why you're there. So it was a great chance for me to kind of, show that, Tallahassee has talent. And, if we go and try to find it, it's out there. So it just gave me a chance to kind of showcase that.
I'm going to put you on the hot seat a little bit here. When you were at Florida State, there was obviously a lot of really good defenders going through, including yourself at that point in Florida State's history. Who was your best defender that you lined up with during your time at FSU?
Oh, that's a good one. Let's see. Who just flat out dominated? I mean, you can go with Antonio Cromartie. I mean, clearly he had a pretty solid career at Florida State, if not a great career. He had a pretty solid career and was, you know, able to play with him. You know, Broderick Buckley, he stands out. That's another name that kind of stands out at the time. He had a pretty solid career also as a defensive tackle. You know, a couple of other local kids, Ernie Sims and Sam McGrew. Like, you know, we all played pretty solid. I think it was pretty even. But I have to say, if I had to put my finger on one person, I would say Cromartie had a pretty solid year as well as Buckley. It'd be a fine line between them two.
A 1A and a 1B type of deal. So who was the best trash talker on that defense? Was it Crow? I imagine he had to be right up there.
Yeah, Crow talked a lot. our defense talked a lot, period. I mean, if you can remember, we had this guy named, this character named Buster Davis.
True, I forgot.
I thought about everybody, but as soon as you said trash talking, I mean, Buster Davis' name just pops up in mind, so I'm going to have to go with Buster.
All right, this is a PG-13 podcast-ish. What's the best thing you ever heard him say to someone, something that sticks out to you years later?
It's a few quotes that I probably can't say, but, you know, I mean, most football quotes, you know, they're not really.
They're not family friendly quotes, huh?
this is us and the guys out there. This is us and the boys, man. So, you know, we hang out, we enjoy ourselves. And, you know, some of the stuff that we say, I wouldn't repeat around, you know, civilized people, civil people.
Well, no offense to podcast listeners. Some are civil, some aren't. But yeah, they're used to shenanigans on this podcast. But we'll move on.
Just know that Mickey Andrews was my coach. So
I was gonna go with Mickey Andrews in profanity there, but I decided against it. But I figured that would have been a road we could have gone down as well. I know Mickey would get after it back in the day.
So, like, just know it's a lot of good things I've heard and few things that kind of traumatized me and stuck with me. So it is.
There's some people in the FSU community who want, you know, there's obviously the Bobby Bowden statue outside of the Moore Center. Some people want Mickey Andrews to be represented. I don't know about the statue, but something named after him. Are you a proponent of that, given what he did for this program?
Man, I thought you was about to say a statue of me.
Whatever you want.
Yeah, right. He put in his fair share. That's a great debatable question. Like you said, because when you think about Florida State and defensive backs and how many have been through our program, and you have to at least, you know, acknowledge that Mickey Andrews had a lot to do with that. So, and you know, for a moment was known as DB University, defensive back university. So you don't get a title like that and not be able to coach or, you know, bring kids from one level to the next and have them perform, like I said, from one high level up to the next high level without missing a beat. And he's done it time and time again. So, like I said, it's a very debatable question.
I'm still a proponent of FSU being DBU. I think Alabama, LSU, Ohio State can lay claim to it. Florida wants to do it, man. I'm not sure I'm buying UF even being in that conversation. What about
never.
You?
No. Never.
All right. I'm with you. All right, good.
I mean, they are, but no. Like you said, you named the program.
Yeah, there's a teardrop for sure. I need UF to realize that, but that's not happening anytime soon. So I asked you, so what are, you know, some of your best teammates at FSU? What about the best player you ever went against in college? Who gave you the most problems, like a wide receiver, someone opposing skill player who just gave you a tough time during your career?
Man, that's a good question. Like I said, because, you know, we went against the almighty, you know, Miami dynasty for a while. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, they had a lot of great players come through there also. So, I mean, I could probably name somebody from the University of Miami because, you know, during that time when, you know, Chantel and them was around, you know, they went to the national championship. So, mm-hmm. You know, I'm pretty sure it was a stud on there I could probably pick easily from the Miami team. They were a really good team during my years. And like I said, just privileged to play against, you know, people that, you know, took the game as seriously as me and was able to play at that level.
What about the most memorable game against Miami that you participated in your 4 years? What one stands out the most?
The rain game was fun. One in Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. I can't remember if we won or not. I know we beat them. I think we beat them one out of three times or something like that. Two out of three two out of four, something like that. But I mean, the one in the rain was fun, man. And the one where what is his name? Stanford Sanyu was hit.
Oh, the hit.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, it's that, and I think I had an interception that game also. It's just a real fun game. We got to go against a lot of great talented people. You know, Callan Winslow was there, and a couple of great running backs. I could probably name all of them. But like I said, it was fun times playing against Miami in general. But I do remember having an interception versus him.
So you go from being part of one of the most prestigious college football programs ever to getting drafted by the Dallas Cowboys, America's team. I guess you go from one pressure cooker to another. What was it like playing for the Dallas Cowboys? How much media coverage is on that team? What was that experience like for you for the several seasons you were there with the Cowboys?
I mean, I had my good times and my bad time. I started off slow. If anybody followed my career, you know, I got thrown in the pressure cooker. Like you said, I was fifth round, so naturally I didn't expect to start, but I had performed. Coming into camp, I had performed, you know, pretty good. Well, I guess it was no difference between me and the starter. And, you know, I actually had a little more, you know, upside, you know, given the potential. So I was able to start right away. But, you know, things didn't go as planned. I had an up and down, you know, rookie year and some injuries, you know. So, like I said, it was all a lot, you know, given, you know, the situation I was in. Coming out as the fifth round and not expecting to start, then coming out and starting at the gate. You know, in Jacksonville, where, you know, you have, you know, friends and family coming from Tallahassee to come watch you play your very first NFL, you know, game. So, and I didn't get the news of me starting until I was on the bus on the way to the stadium. You know, I had an idea, you know, but it was never official until, you know, my coach came to me on the bus to the stadium. Like, hey, you know, you're going to start this game. And I'm like, yeah, all right, well, thank you. Right. So,
not nervous at all, I'm sure, when that happens, right?
Yeah, I mean, I had to shake it off. Like, you know, it's the first, and I learned to over my years to shake it off. But my first few games, man, just pure butterflies. Like I said, you know, I had always dreamed of, you know, getting to the NFL, you know, since a kid, since six, you know, seven, first time I ever put on pads. And I felt like, you know, something that I could achieve. So when I got there, I was like, you know, it's once again, like you said, a pressure cooker. You feel like, you know, now that I'm here, you're going against the best of the best. You know, this is, you know, we brushed all the other stuff to the side. This is the meat and potatoes. So, you know, at first, you know, when I got up there, you know, I used to think like that. And I used to play so nervous. But when I got to maybe my third and fourth year, I realized there's a reason I was there, you know. Then I started playing a little more comfortable. But, you know, and injuries happens. But, you know, I was coupled by injuries throughout my career. But like I said, once you realize that, you know, you're there for a reason and you get kind of comfortable playing, then, you know, the sky's the limit. Because once I got in that mind frame, like, I'm here for a reason. I wouldn't be here if I wasn't, you know, an able football player, or, you know, at least a really good football player. So, like I said, my first couple of years was rough, but I shook it off and I kind of, you know, got, you know, grew until, you know, from a cub to a lion, and that's when I kind of, you know, transformed.
You mentioned you're having injuries, and I know that obviously cuts the NFL career short, but you keep pushing and you remain in playing professional football in the CFL. You're an all-star there. You know, it's obviously still a very competitive brand of football, right? Next to the NFL, that's the top league beneath the NFL. So you keep trying, man. You keep working at it. A lot of guys, I would imagine, probably would have just hung up the pads after the NFL didn't really work out for them. Why did you keep playing the game for so many years after the NFL?
Well, initially, you know, I felt like I was still good enough to be in the NFL. I was just in a bad situation. You know, when I got released by, you know, while I was injured. So, you know, I had to kind of fix myself and, you know, pull myself back together. It was a lot going on in my head. I felt like I was kind of slighted from the NFL. And I, you know, wanted to play football. Ball was, you know, something that I really wanted to do. So even though I didn't have the opportunity to go back to the NFL, I felt like, you know, still felt like I could still go and have some fun, you know, and still, you know, do what I love to do, at least if not for a little longer before I call it quits. And, you know, I went up there and had, like you said, a pretty solid career while I was up there also. So, like I said, once the confidence there is there, it's just, you know, I was just an unfortunate player, you know, to have, you know, injuries that kind of, you know, turned my career. But, you know, I never wanted to give up. And, you know, anybody out there that's probably going through, you know, whether high school or college, is going through something that I've been through, you know, like you said, it's a great story to tell people that, you know, even though I went through any injury, I still kind of fought back and found a way to continue to play the game that I love instead of just, you know, crawling over and dying and, you know, just feeling really sad for myself. Instead, I got, you know, back in the weight room, you know, prepared like I was still in the NFL, and I still got a shot to play, and I took it.
And so when your playing career does end, Pat, like, you've managed to stay around football. You're coaching now locally here in Tallahassee, the middle school level. You have a camp coming up. So why are you still around football? Why is it still so important and such a big part of your life to this day?
Well, I mean, I made a lot of great friendships. I met a lot of great people through football, first of all. I mean, some of the people you meet, some of the friendships you make are going to be lifelong, whether it's high school, collegiate, or professionally. You know, I still have friends that I talk to from, you know, professional, from the collegiate level, from the high school level. So some of the friendships that you build can be lifelong, you know. Also, I mean, I feel like, you know, football teaches discipline, and, you know, it teaches discipline and other characteristics that you can't get from nowhere else. So I'm trying to get, kids the same opportunity that I have, you know. Because I feel like, you know, there's a lot of coaches out there that kind of, you know, reached me, you know, reached out to me, even though they wasn't my dad, they were father-like. And because of that, I listened a lot better to things they had to tell me, which kind of helped, you know, guide me along the path I was trying to go and, you know, be able to play, the sport that I love to play for so long. So, you know, now I feel like, you know, now that I'm, on the other side of the fence, that's what I want to try to do, at least try to encourage that one kid that really wants to, you know, make it to the NFL. You know, I want to encourage him. I want to tell him to keep going. I want to teach him how to do it. I want to, help him on things that he needs help on. You know, I want to be that, you know, that voice of reason. I want to be, you know, the answer if they have questions, you know, because I've been through it. And, you know, sometimes I didn't have people to ask. I didn't have people, you know, to talk to about it, you know, whether it was, you know, football related or personal. You know, sometimes we, like I said, you meet people, it can be, you know, kind of a father-son relationship, even though it's not your father. You can feel that close. So, you know, like I said, it's probably one or two kids somewhere out there that, you know, needs that. And, you know, I want to, you know, be able to be around to help if that's the case.
Can you let our listeners know, so you have the Pat Watkins camp coming up. It'll probably be, I guess, next week by the time this podcast runs. So, yeah, coming up later this month, this upcoming week, where they can check it out, how they can go ahead and find information on it, and just let them know where to find it.
Well, we're going to be having it from June 14th to June 18th at Florida State University Schools, Florida High, 3000 Schoolhouse Road, Tallahassee, Florida, 32311. You can also register at i9sports.com. Once again, like you said, the ages are 7 through 15 and the time is 8:30 to 11 a.m.
All right. So you can check it out there. We'll also put a link on the message board for people to click on and find out more information as well. Once the podcast is posted here, I got two more questions for you, Pat, and I'll let you run. I heard that you recently graduated or went back, got your degree. I guess, what was the motivation behind doing that? Why was that important to you to go ahead and get the degree?
Once again, you know, when you're in football, they teach you this thing, we like to call finishing that. You know, it's just one of the things that kind of stick with me. I kind of stuck with me, you know, throughout my life. Whenever I start something, it's something that, you know, I want to try to finish. And school's one of them things. You know, I left and, you know, because it's something I want to do, you know, which is go to the league. I had my chance. But when I said I was done playing ball, I was going to go back and finish my degree. And, you know, I stuck true to my word.
All right. So last question I have for you is, as you're watching the game and you're coaching it now, I guess, what's the biggest difference you see in how defensive backs have to play the game now between since you played? I guess, what's the biggest change in the way defensive backs approach the game or have to play tactically?
Well, I mean, you have to have better feet nowadays. You know, even though it's a physical game, it's less physical at certain positions, and receiver defensive back is one of those positions where, you know, they're trying to keep people safe. So you see less physicality out of, you know, the offense, out of the receiver and defensive back spot. So that being said, I would have to say that, you know, I teach kids to try to rely on their feet more as opposed to their hands. You know, a lot of the techniques that I teach my kids is, you know, feet is just as important as a receiver feet. You know, you got to learn how to, you know, be able to move backwards like a receiver can move forward. So, you know, like I said, because of the lack of physicality at some positions, you have to learn other ways to play better technique.
I know so many coaches today covet length because wide receivers have these giant wingspans, and so many defensive backs that can, whether it's playing these zone matchup patterns or, you know, just needing the length to go against the bigger wide receivers, that's coveted. Do you think, given that you were a bigger safety, do you think your game would have translated better over, like, now modern, you know, football, or do you think it was perfect for the time you were playing in the mid 2000s?
I think it was perfect. And I think, if I play now, I think I'd still be fine. You know, I try to teach more positioning than, you know, length to anything. You know, where the ball is at, you try to, you know, be in the best position to make plays. So, like I said, you it's you know, it's about skill, but it's also about mental growth and, you know, mind frame and just your style of ball. And my style of ball was always, you know, being able to be as close as I can to a receiver and man, and then, you know, apexing, you know, like my position if I was in a zone coverage. So, like I said, it's different ways to play techniques. And, you know, I don't think one way is right. You can see a corner and that's 5'5" and still ball out of control. You can see a corner 6'3", 6'5" and that ball out of control is just, you know, how they coach and how they relate to your coaching.
All right, that's Pat Watkins. You can check out the Pat Watkins football camp coming up here in Tallahassee, starting off on June 14th. Again, we'll put more information for it, a link and all the information you need if you are interested in having your kid attend. Pat, thanks so much for joining me here on the bench. Really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thank you. You should have me back. That's the Florida State football.
Oh, for sure. We'll do a little DB breakdown. I like it.
All right, that'll work.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.